Bob asked me to talk about a couple of things. But at first, I just want to share with you that when people ask me why the Forest Society opposes Northern Pass, I used to have a long explanation. Now I have a short one. We don't need the power. We don't want the scar. And we sure don't want the state to throw property rights under the bus. And I want to talk about the property rights issue in a little more detail. You've heard a lot about the legislation that's before the Senate. That's important. But there's some fundamental principles at stake here regarding our Constitution, rights that we have voted for our Constitution to protect. And there's another very little discussed issue. I happen to live in Holderness, down in the flatlands, where about 300 yards from where the power line is going to go through an existing right-of-way. And I can assure you, you guys have gotten everybody in my neck of the woods as fired up as you have been for a long time for the very same reasons. But the thing I wanted to talk about regarding the property rights issue was, one, the constitutional issue, and second, you know, what about these existing rights-of-way? And why it's important that Coos County keep this thing from going through the county, because then you'll have an existing right-of-way if it does go through. And I think the fact that Hydro-Quebec wants to export 4,000 more megawatts of electricity in addition to what they're proposing with Hydro-Quebec is a reason to be real concerned about getting any right-of-way established here in the first place. So first, the constitutional issue. As Bob mentioned, we've had some attorneys look at this issue, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'll take some liberties and oversimplify some of this, but the short story is that because this is a private enterprise making a private investment, it's not a traditional public utility investment in a right-of-way or a power line. It is a private investor making a private investment. And because it's a private investor making a private investment, it's not constitutional for them to claim that they have the right of eminent domain for this project. Now, here's the thing about eminent domain that's really troubling to us. It's bad enough when, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, you know, a petition is filed. What's really bad is right now, when the hammer of eminent domain is being waved by Northern Pass as a threat. And it's not constitutional. If I have a constitutional right to be protected from that through the formal petition process 2 or 3 years down the road, I have the constitutional right to not be threatened by it today. And I think this is something that not even the folks who are promoting this project really get, because you've heard already that there are people approaching landowners who are, and I want to be clear, there's nothing unconstitutional about bringing a fat checkbook and offering $500,000 to somebody for their land. You and I can do that if we had that size checkbook, and it happens. What is unconstitutional is to bring the fat checkbook in one hand and bring the hammer in the other. And even if you don't use the words eminent domain, the fact of the matter is they've made very clear they plan to use it if they can't get the quarter they want voluntarily. So this is a real issue. And that's why Larry Rappaport's bill is so important, because the legislature, each one of those legislators took an oath of office to defend the Constitution when they were elected. It's now time for them to stand up and do that. And the people have to make clear that they expect that their rights are going to be protected. And I think Bill Weir's absolutely right. If we're going to have a new governor, we need to make very clear that we expect the governor who's going to be every candidate who's going to be a candidate for governor to address this issue. Are you for protecting the constitutional rights or not? It's a pretty simple question. Now, the other issue that hasn't gotten a lot of attention on the property rights front, and it's particularly sensitive down in my neck of the woods, is this issue of using the existing rights of way. Now, when these rights of way were originally acquired, and the one that runs, it's not on my property, but it runs near it, the one that's there is a 45-foot pole, a pair of poles that carries a distribution line. It's below the tree line. I actually can't see it, and even though I'm fairly close to it, that's not going to be the case if they build the 90 to 135-foot towers. But here's what really rubs me the wrong way, and I think it's something that requires a lot more legal work, and we're actually having lawyers look at this issue. When these rights of way were first acquired, they were acquired to run utility service lines to end users in New Hampshire. They weren't acquired as a conduit for wholesale power from Quebec down to southern New England. That's a fundamentally different use than what they were originally acquired for. And somebody needs to challenge the right of a utility company to make that much of an expansion of the use of the right-of-way they acquired. Now, we at the Forest Society own a property in Bethlehem, the Rocks Estate, which has 1.3 miles of existing right-of-way going through it, which is targeted by Northern Pass for the new Northern Pass corridor. When the predecessor and ownership to us conveyed that right-of-way to Public Service Company of New Hampshire in 1947, do you really think that they would have voluntarily conveyed the right-of-way if they knew that a 135-foot tower was going to go through it? I don't think so. More to the point, those lines were acquired with ratepayer money. I mean, ratepayers actually financed the acquisition of those lines. So we have a stake in this quite beyond anything else. And so we ought to be asking the question as ratepayers, is this a reasonable use of that right-of-way? And I think if, there has to be some limit to what a utility company can use an existing right-of-way for. And in fact, the courts have, when individual landowners in the past have challenged the use of a right-of-way by a utility for something other than what it was originally acquired for, the courts have bent over backwards and pretty much given the utilities a carte blanche to use them however they want. And they refer to a doctrine in the legal opinions that are written when courts rule on these challenges. They refer to a reasonable use doctrine. Now, you would think that if the courts identified something called a reasonable use doctrine, that there at least is an implicit suggestion that there is a point at which there's an unreasonable use. Well, the courts have never addressed it. And Northern Pass may offer the first opportunity to address this issue squarely. So there are a lot of issues that the property rights that are at stake here involve, and we all need to be clear about this. And I don't want to stand up here and say that I know that this is the legally right interpretation. The point is that there's doubt, and we need to clarify this doubt on the existing rights of way. We need to know what is a reasonable use and what is not a reasonable use. And on newly acquired rights of way, we certainly need to know that this utility that's proposing this power line isn't going to continue to threaten to use eminent domain, because they don't have to come to Lynn or Bill and whisper the words of eminent domain. They've already done that. That hammer's already out there. And if somebody wants to sell, fair enough. But if they're selling under that kind of duress, I think that's unconscionable. So I think if we can do nothing else through this experience with Northern Pass, clarifying the laws and how the laws apply to the use of existing rights of way and the acquisition of new rights of way is something that we could leave as a legacy that's very, very important. And I applaud all of you for what you're doing, and I appreciate the support that all of you are providing to us, many other organizations, and many other people in the fight all the way down the line. And I'm happy to stick around and answer questions if people have them. But thank you for coming tonight, and thank you for having us.